The letter to the Ephesians sets forth a vision for living. It is a vision of hope and promise based on our experience of the risen life that we know in part now as baptized persons, members of the body of Christ. We know it through the communion we have with our risen Savior, which is often experienced in relationship with each other, and when we help the poor and the outcast. This is an initial sharing in the eternal life that we will one day know in its fullness. The letter states, "We set our hope on Christ that we might live for the praise of his glory." Ephesians presents the life of grace, a life shaped by the power of God rather than by the powers of darkness. We live this life of grace as part of God's, quoting from the letter, plan for the fullness of time. The plan for the fullness of time. When all things are gathered up in God, things in heaven and on earth, as the letter states. The life of grace is an experience of knowing something of eternal life now, being part now of God's plan for the fullness of time, part of what is becoming through God's grace now. We who've known something of the power of this grace in our lives are like the author of Ephesians, called to live that vision and share that vision. And sometimes we see it right in front of us. Love wins. Divisions overcome. Wounds are healed. And new days dawn. Sometimes we see it right there. The arc of the moral universe bending toward justice, as Dr. King said. It is long, this arc, and sometimes we don't see the bend, but sometimes we do. We saw it at General Convention with full marriage equality coming to the Episcopal Church. We saw it in the election of Bishop Michael Curry to be our next presiding bishop. On November 1st, he will be installed, and he will be the first person of color, the first African American ever to preside as the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. This has been a long arc. This has been a long arc in coming. Can look at the history and see incrementally how we reached both of those results in this general convention. And I'll speak more about that in the program after church today. Sometimes we see it. But then sometimes there are days such as the one described in the gospel reading. Into this pleasant summer day we are enjoying comes one of the most horrible, powerful stories of darkness. It's a story with which we're familiar, for it's a story of struggles, power struggles, a story of being manipulated and going with that and choosing what is wrong instead of what's right. It's a story of the innocent dying in a court of jesters, almost for their merriment. Herod had been criticized by John the Baptist for marrying his brother's wife, which angered his wife. Herod did not want to kill John because he knew that the people revered him, and Herod also considered him holy and righteous. But then the party and the drinking and the promise, whatever his daughter wanted would be given to her. So on the bidding of her mother, the daughter asks for the head of John on a platter. Do you hear the similarities to what happened to Jesus, to the account of Pilate sending Jesus to the cross? The pressure of others, but ultimately one man's decision, and he chooses wrongly. in the drama that is the life of the world, the pressures of the world, the darkness of the world often have their way. And we also feel those pressures. We know the darkness. We've felt those motivators to act or not to act because of fear, intimidation, systems of oppression, systems that seemed so wrong. But we have been called to another way, to another vision, to another life, in fact, a different life. For the life of grace offered to us frees us with the support of God and each other. It frees us to live in the light, to live the life of Christ, not an easy life, but a true life. A life devoted to God, to the way of God, to the way of Jesus. We are called to be part of what our new presiding bishop-elect, Michael Curry, calls the Jesus Movement. You're going to be hearing a lot about the Jesus Movement from Michael Curry. We are part of something, something big. As one commentator notes about the passage from Ephesians, the language is not individualistic. As beloved as we are as individuals, we're lifted up into something far greater than ourselves. We are blessed in Christ. We are chosen in Christ. We are destined for adoption through Christ. This gift is always a gift for the community of Christ as well as each one of us. For we, plural, Christ's body, we are the hands of Christ and the heart of Christ in the world. We are the Jesus Movement. It is in our faith community that we come together and then go out from here to support each other through prayer, fellowship, companionship in this way, so that we can be Christ for each other. And this is a movement that cannot be stopped. Michael Curry also said a number of times at General Convention, God's love cannot be stopped. And as people out there in the world learn more about us, people want to join. Just one example, from Twitter this week, a person wrote that in the shoe store, the person assisting her right after General Convention said to her, "You Episcopalian? I read about your marriage equality. Plus, I know y'all feed the poor. How can I be one?" This happened. I had people on Twitter telling me, a gay couple, that they were wondering about the Episcopal Church and now they're sure that it's for them. When we went out to a restaurant the day after marriage equality passed, the people serving us talked about it and thanked us. This is in Salt Lake City, right? Utah. Yeah. They thanked us and told us how thankful they were at our bravery. People use that word, and that we would do this and how it gave them hope. The Jesus Movement, when we display our faith in ways that people can see and understand and relates to their lives in many ways, in all the ways that it can, the movement grows. During General Convention, we also heard Bishop Curry tell a story, one that I've heard him tell before, and so I realized this time that this story is about a moment in his life when he knew it was a game changer. When he knew, when God touched him and helped him know in an even a more powerful way than he had about this power of God's movement and life in opposition to the death-dealing ways of the world. It's a story of a funeral when Curry was a priest in Baltimore during a time of terrible gang wars. He presided at the funeral of a young man, 18 or 19 years old. And when the funeral was ending, one of the young men who was there in attendance, probably, Curry said, a fellow gang member, put his hand on the coffin and said, "See you real soon." And that man was 18, 19, 20 years old. and that was the best thing that he could say about his future. That one experience spoke to Bishop Curry about the tragedy that life can be, and that we are called to be about something entirely different. That through Christ, everyone is called to be about something entirely different. And we who are in the Jesus movement now, we show forth this difference in the world and invite others to join us. It's a movement, as you know, about love and inclusion and justice and authenticity, being vulnerable, being about healing and hope. In a world full of death, we point to life, real life, not easy, but real and true. And in the end, you can count on it because we can count on God's grace. And God wants everyone in this movement, because only you are able to be for God in this world in the way that you can be for God. And that's how important you are to God. And God loves you. Bishop Curry was elected at General Convention and three others were not. I have a special compassion for those who are not elected in church elections, having been, as some of you know, in an Episcopal election once, and obviously not being elected. And I bring this up because our passage from Ephesians is often seen to be about election, speaking of election, being chosen. Throughout Christian history, there have been theological arguments based on this passage in Ephesians about who is elected and who is not. One of the grace-filled experiences I had around that process of not being elected was my sense of God saying to me, maybe to say right now to you, everyone is elected, called to be part of the movement, to serve, to know the life of grace. And an image came to me at that time. How great would it be if, say, 700 people were to show up at your house, my house, everyone's house or home, and elect you to what God is already calling you to be about and to do, and have a party, and congratulate you, and tell you how wonderful you are to accept this call of God on your life. Not because you're perfect, but because you are the only one who can do what God is calling you to do, and knowing that God gives the grace necessary for that calling. Wouldn't that be something? Every baptism ought to be like that. Every single one, because that's what's happening in heaven. The angels are rejoicing, everybody's cheering, God's electing you every day. And let me tell you, it is a big deal to have 700 people show up and vote on your life. It really is. It's really hard to miss that. It's super intense. So through prayer and reflection, you might want to give that a try. Imagine that. And then as I was reviewing some of these thoughts and things from General Convention yesterday, another image that we could pray with would be entering, say, the House of Deputies. When Bishop Curry entered the House of Deputies, there were probably 2,000 people there. And everybody got up and cheered. Imagine it's you entering that room and everybody's getting up and cheering. Because I know that's what's happening with God in heaven. You might pray about this, reflect about what you're doing now, and know that God is cheering for you. Imagine what that might look like and the way God, the Holy Spirit, leads you. Or think about something you wonder if God's calling you to. Are you hearing the cheer for that? What are you being elected to today? This sort of focused and intense desire for you to know who you are and that you are elected, this is what our Christian faith teaches us that God is all about for each of us and for us as a community. You and I are part of this Jesus movement, and it is that important, essential to this world, part of God's plan for the fullness of time. Amen.